Let's open our Bibles to the book of Exodus. We're going to do something totally, totally different today toward the end of the message. So listen closely or you might miss it. Exodus chapter 21. Exodus 21. Exodus 21, verse 22. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then shalt thou give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. The words eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and hand for hand, foot for foot have often been used and abused by people who believe and practice what I call vigilante justice. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. You injure me or my family, I'm going to injure you or your family just as much as you injured mine. One problem with vigilante justice, and I say that for all of us, is that oftentimes vigilantes don't get all of the evidence and often end up hurting innocent people. Another problem with vigilante justice is that they're not giving the Bible does not give any individual the right for self-revenge. In fact, over and over, we're taught that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. So that as Christians, we do not have the right to take vengeance into our own hand. This law, if you read the context, this law, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, was given to the magistrates or judges of that day to help them, to help guide them in what punishment to give out in certain situations. You can read that whole chapter and it says, if this happens, this is what the judges do. If this happens, this is what the judges do. And so it talks about there, what can happen, and then you give as the judges determine, and the judges can go eye for eye, tooth for tooth, however they feel is best to go. These are not, these verses give very specific rules, not based on emotion. Sometimes when we get upset, our emotions take over our mind, and we go far beyond what is reasonable or normal. Or even acceptable. Since my son is not here this morning, I'll give you one example. When he was much younger, still living at home, I was downstairs studying, and I heard him arguing with his mom, and he was being pretty disrespectful to his mom. And I was already having a bad day. I was already stressed and irritated, all those things I preached last Sunday. And so I went upstairs, and I'm telling you, he got the worst whipping of his entire life. Partially based on what he did, but partially based on the fact that I was already stressed, and he just happened to get the brunt of it when I got up there and he implied that his mom was lying. You don't do that to your mother. So many times when we take vigilante justice, we act on emotion instead of waiting for the facts and asking what happened, what's going on, and so forth. These particular verses describe a situation where two men are fighting. During the fight, a woman who is with child, presumably pregnant, she's the wife of one of these two men. Somehow, while these two men are fighting, she gets caught up in the fire and is injured during the fight of these two men. If she dies or goes into labor and the baby dies, the magistrates were to do to administer judgment based on the death of her or the death of the unborn child. And that will be important in a few minutes. If she was injured and went into premature labor, and the baby was physically born handicapped because she went into premature labor, the judges were to administer justice based on literally, if the baby was born defective with an eye, they took an eye. If the baby was born defective with a tooth, you know, and he went down, if the baby was born because the baby was injured in utero, then the judges were to execute the same judgment on the man as was born to the baby. So the life of the woman and the life of the unborn child were to be protected, and anyone who took or caused to be taken the life of either was guilty of murder and was to be treated based on several circumstances. I'm going to come back to that, but since I'm dealing with killing, I do want to make a couple of very quick points. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, the Ten Commandments. You probably don't even need to turn. Verse 13 says, "Thou shalt not kill." Most people that I've read and studied understand that verse means thou shalt not commit murder. We know that because there were many instances in the Old Testament where Jesus commanded people to be killed. In the case of war, they were to kill. In the case of, you know, some of the people that sinned, Moses killed them. Moses stoned them. When they went to battle and, you know, one of the men stole some stole some garments and some silver, he was commanded to be killed. So thou shalt not kill is not saying you can't do capital punishment. It's saying thou shalt not commit murder. The deliberate or even accidental or careless taking of a life was to be punished. They didn't have murder, first degree, second degree, third degree. They didn't have vehicular homicide. They didn't have involuntary manslaughter versus voluntary manslaughter. The rule was very simple. If you commit murder, then there is to be some punishment meted out. Jesus went even farther in the book of Matthew. Jesus went so far as to say that if you hate a brother without proper cause, then you are guilty of murder. Well, I've never killed anybody. I've never killed anybody physically. I've never shot anybody. I've never stabbed anybody. I've never ran over anybody with a car and killed them. But boy, when you start getting into the mind, the very fact that if you hate someone, you are guilty of murder in the sight of God. We see murder almost daily. Life has become so meaningless that people can kill dozens of people and never blink an eye. If you missed the devotion this morning, you missed some really good ideas, because he was talking about the, you know, training up children, and I made the comment later. We have a whole several generations that have been taught from kindergarten all the way through college that life is meaningless. What gives life meaning? What is it that gives life meaning to us? Is it not the fact that we were created in the image of God that makes us special, that makes us above the animals? But they're taught there is no God. There is no right and wrong. You're nothing more than an animal. And if I kill you, it's no different than killing a dog or a cat or any other snake or any other animal. And so now we have people who can literally drive by and just mow down everybody they can kill And in their mind, they haven't done anything wrong. They can walk into a church and slaughter 20-something people. In their mind, they did nothing wrong because these people are not made in the image of God. These people are just animals, and killing them is not much more than killing an animal. In fact, you can go to jail longer for mistreating or killing a dog or cat than you can in some cases for killing a person. And I'm going to go off on a tangent on purpose here. Life has become so meaningless that people can kill other people at the blink of an eye. Now, this is where I just want to throw this in. If you ban guns, what will murderers do? You don't have to answer, but just think about it. I know there's a big mood, ban all guns, confiscate all guns. But you know, I find throughout the Bible that they used all kinds of things to kill people. David used a stone, so I guess we're going to ban all stones. Where was it? London last week. How many of you read the London news last week? London last week banned all knives. They banned guns years ago. They banned all knives because instead of guns, now people are using knives to kill other people. So in London, they have banned knives. Wonder what they'll ban next. Baseball bats, vases or vases, whatever. If you're intent on killing somebody, you're going to kill somebody. It wasn't that long ago in California, a man used a van to just run over many people. People have been killed with bare hands. They've been killed with baseball bats. They've been killed with all kinds of things. A murderer will find some way to kill people if he's determined to kill people. That's my advertisement for the day. Today there's a move on, and it's been on for many years. It's just gaining traction now, that old people, sick people, people who are hopelessly sick, can be euthanized. You don't have to speak, but how many of you know what euthanasia is? Some of you may find out sooner than others. And I said 20, 25, 30 years ago, when this first was getting started, I said euthanasia, and this was back way back yonder, 25, 30 years ago, I said euthanasia will eventually boil down to, are you worth what it's going to cost to heal you? I said that 25, 30 years ago. What are they looking at today? You're 80 years old. You're not in good health. We're not going to waste the money treating you. Now, you can die a long suffering death, or we can give you something to speed up death, but you're not worth what it's going to cost to heal you. And I'll let you in on a secret if you promise you won't tell anybody. My hospital bill, my therapy, which is still going on, all of my surgeries, everything came in somewhere around $300,000 somewhere for changing two light bulbs. If they were basing it on merit, I probably wouldn't be here. They would have let me die somewhere. See, it's all going to come down to, you're not worth spending the money on. And so we'll just kill you, or we'll show you how to kill yourself effectively. And that's going to start happening more and more. But now let's get to my main point, which is actually back in our text. In Exodus chapter 21, Moses, writing under the instructions of God, placed great importance not only on the life of the mother, But Moses placed an equal value on the unborn child. I want to see, let that soak in. There's many, many verses. We won't go to all of them. But since 1973, when the Supreme Court made abortion legal in Roe versus Wade, there have been millions and millions of babies killed since 1973. There are approximately 1.2 million babies killed every year. If my math is correct, that's 137,000 abortions per hour. Somewhere, now that's an average, 137 babies killed every hour. Think about that. My purpose this morning is not to prove that abortion is murder, although that will be very thick throughout. There are a lot of verses that show beyond any doubt that, you know, God considers the moment of conception to be the beginning of life. There's many verses that we can go to prove that. Any plain, simple Bible study, you don't have to be a scholar. Just get your Bible and a good concordance. Anybody can study and see beyond any doubt that the Bible is very clear. Life begins at conception. My primary purpose is to show the development of the baby. And then I'll show that at any stage during that time, a woman can go at any time in some states right up to birth, and in some cases, in some states, even after birth, the baby's born, the baby's there, she can still have that baby killed in a post-birth abortion. I hope I don't get too boring for you. I found several charts. Some of them had slightly different references. You know, this happens here. Well, you know, so I went through and tried to combine them and come up with some things that I hope will be educational and that you can go home. And by the way, if you want copies of the charts, one of them is put out by Answers in Genesis. I can make you copies. I don't think I'll get in trouble. I can make you copies, I think. If not, I'll buy them from AIG. And it shows pictures of actual developed babies from conception all the way through birth. The other one I found online, very, very similar, but it was just text. There's no fancy pictures in it. Let's go through some things very quickly. Well, I don't have to go quickly. Week one, conception. There's many, many verses, and like I said, there are lots of verses that show the moment of conception, that baby has a soul, that baby has a spirit, that baby is alive, and that baby will go to heaven if it dies in infancy or in pregnancy. At the time of conception, the baby has approximately 100 cells. It has 46 chromosomes, 23 from the mom, 23 from the dad. And those chromosomes will help determine everything from the baby's sex to the eye color to the hair color, even to a large extent, the baby's personality and intelligence are already, you know, in a large degree mapped out at the moment of conception. Implantation occurs somewhere during that first week, usually. By week two, the baby has 150 cells. And by week two, it already is beginning to form muscles, bones, the circulatory system, the urinary system, the nervous system are already starting to be formed. 2 weeks, mom doesn't even know she's pregnant yet. And already these things are beginning to develop. By week three, the brain and spinal cord are already beginning to form. Mom doesn't even know she's pregnant yet. And the brain is already starting to develop and already starting to form. The heart, in a very primitive manner, the heart has already begun to circulate blood by 3 weeks. By 4 weeks, the arms and legs are beginning to form. Now, if you really want to go into detail, you know, it shows how that they start as little nubs that look like paddles and how they develop. I cut all of that out, but you can certainly get it and read it. By 4 weeks, it's already starting to form its arms and legs. By 5 weeks, the brains and nervous system are now firmly established. They've still got some growth, but they're already established. The eyes and ears, there's already indentations for the eyes, and there's already the beginning of ears starting to form, little indentations where the ears will be. By week 5, the baby is about the size of the tip of a pen. That's how big the baby is, and it's already got all of these things starting to function. By week 6, the feet, the digestive system, the head, including the eyes, ears, and lips, are forming, and the heart is beginning to beat at around 150 beats per minute. By week 6, some women still don't even know they're pregnant, and the baby's heart is already starting to beat. You can't hear it yet. It's so weak that it can't be picked up even with a ultrasound stethoscope, but the baby's heart is beating roughly 150 times a minute. By week 7, the lungs are forming. Muscles and nerves are now beginning to function. The baby can show reflexes. Mom won't feel it yet, but the baby is already beginning to form reflexes. And by this time, the baby is the size of an eraser on a pencil. Little bitty, but it's already got a brain, it's already got a heart, it's already got eyes, lips, and ears beginning to form. It's already starting to, the heart is starting to beat, and the blood, and that's very primitive in the early stages. By week 8, the baby's arms, legs, and fingers are forming, becoming more and more distinct. A nose and eyelids begin to appear. And by week 8, the baby is about a half of an inch long. And all of this is already taking place. By week 9, the baby is developing bones and can begin to bend its elbows. Its eyes are fully formed, and many other of its other organs are beginning to develop. It can now open its mouth. Some believe that it even has some capacity to make vocal sounds, and it's only about 3/4 of an inch. Now, why is that important? If you believe the worldview, you're only destroying a 3/4 inch blob of tissue. There's nothing there. There's nothing there. It's not alive. It's just a blob of tissue. And if you abort it, you really haven't aborted anything other than just a blob of tissue. But as science has shown, and I'll tell you, there's different charts. Each one brings out different things. But they already know that the baby has already developed many of its organs, its brains, its heart. All of these things are already developing and are beginning to function. And the baby's only 3/4 of an inch long. Let me think about this one. I used to work quite closely with the Pregnancy Crisis Center here. And they deal not only with ladies who are pregnant, many of them out of wedlock, many of them pregnant, married, but boy, they're only 16, 18 years old and they don't want a baby, and so CareNet works with them, helps them. If you keep the baby, this is what we'll do. We'll give you prenatal care. We'll give you diapers. We'll give you all these things. And I can remember years and years ago, this was back years ago when I was active with them, somebody donated an ultrasound machine. And when women came in and they did the ultrasound and actually showed the baby on the screen, it was something like 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10 women, when they saw that baby on the screen, they were planning to get an abortion. They had made plans to get an abortion. But when they saw that baby that was very recognizable as a baby, even though it was so tiny, it was either 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10 women ended up keeping their baby. Because they saw they'd been lied to. There it is. You can see it. It definitely has the shape of a baby. You can begin to see, you know, fingers and arms. They're not fully developed. That's why several states have passed laws that before you can get an abortion, you must have a sonogram to see the baby before you're allowed to abort it. Personally, I think it's a great law. But no. Planned Parenthood and the other abortion mills, they don't want you to see that baby. Because, like I said, it was either 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10. Once they saw that sonogram, they kept their baby. Some of them gave them up for adoption. But the baby lived once they realized that's not just a blob of fatty tissue. That is an actual baby developing inside. By week 10, the baby can now begin to move. Its brain is developing something like 220,000 neurons per minute, I believe. The brain is rapidly building and growing, in most of us anyway. Some got stunted there. Well, never mind. By week 11, most of its vital organs are functioning. That means its heart, its lungs don't come till later, but its heart, its all of its major organs are beginning to function. And the baby is somewhere between 2 inches and 3.5 inches big. And it's already got most of its organs already functioning and raring and ready to go. By the way, what I started to say a while ago and I never got to. In working with CareNet, some women had already had an abortion before they came to CareNet. They have an excellent section that will help a lady who has had an abortion. They have an excellent section who helps you to deal with that, work through that, and make sure that you don't make that mistake again. By week 12, the baby is beginning to move quite a bit. Mama still probably won't feel it yet, but the baby's very, very active inside the womb. By week 12, it has fingernails, and its face is pretty well fully developed. By week 13 through 17, the baby's fingerprints are formed, its taste buds are beginning to develop, and it's actually going to the restroom inside of its mom. Even as I read these, it's like, how can anybody say this is not a life? How can anybody say you're not killing a baby? You're just killing some fat tissue. By weeks 18 through 22, and I begin to sum several of them up together, bones now are beginning to replace cartilage. By this time, 18 to 22 weeks, mom can definitely very strongly begin to feel the baby kick and move. And I don't know about you folks, but when my wife was pregnant, we would get all excited. Hey, the baby's kicking. But, you know, wow, man, I felt that. I don't know if some of you men had that privilege or not, but it was a tremendous blessing to be able to feel and feel that baby kicking and moving. And then because of complications, she had to get multiple ultrasounds, and we could look at that baby and you could see facial features. Now they've got 4D, you know, images. You can see the warts on its face almost. And yet people can look at that and say, that's not a baby. Not yet. Ask the mom who's being kicked to death, who can't sleep because the baby's kicking and knocking and moving and doing somersaults in there. By this time, the baby can feel pain. That's been documented in several studies. And so when they go in and begin to do an abortion, it has been proven that the baby can feel the pain of them chopping the baby up into little pieces and all of those. I'm not trying to make you sick. It's much worse than I'm portraying, trust me. The baby can actually feel pain by the end of 22 weeks. But we're not killing a baby. We're just killing a blob of tissue. There's no life there. By weeks 23 through 26, its lungs are beginning to mature. If it was born at 23 to 26 weeks, it has about a 35% chance of survival. And one book I read raised it at 26 weeks. It's got a much, much higher chance of survival by 26 weeks. But it's not a baby. It's just a blob of fat tissue. I mean, and besides, it's your body. You can do what you want to with your body. And yet, as I've read this, there's a very definite body inside of you. Actually, if you want to see the pictures, I'll be glad to order them or make copies of mine, whatever. But there is a very, very good chance at 26 weeks that the baby has a very high chance of survival. By 26 weeks, its vertebrae column is now maturing and finishing up the final touches. By 27 to 31 weeks, the baby is fully formed. They didn't have the 3D, 4D when our kids were born. But I've seen some 3D and 4D, and by 27, 28 weeks, that baby looks just like a newborn baby. Its face, its head, its arms, its legs, everything about that baby is pretty well formed by 31 weeks. At between 27 and 31 weeks, the baby can now recognize voices from outside the womb. I didn't realize this. I knew it happened. I didn't know why it happened. But by the lady carries the baby, talk to the baby. Talk to it. Because when the baby's born, and I knew this, I just didn't put it together. When the baby is born, and again, this has been shown to be true, when mama talks, the baby will turn looking for mama's voice because it recognizes that's the voice that I've heard for the last several months. It can actually recognize mom's voice upon birth. So, you know, talk to your baby. Do I want to be funny? No, I think I'll pass that one. I mean, it's been shown, ladies and men, you too, that the baby will recognize your voice after birth. By 32 to 36 weeks, the baby is very actively moving. And you ladies who have had babies, I don't need to tell you, by 36 weeks, that baby is playing football. That baby is playing boxing. That baby is playing everything under the sun. And sometimes it'll kick so hard that you can see it kick out. And By 36 weeks, it now has hair that you can see very clearly on a sonogram. And again, I did not realize this. Some of you doctors, nurses, if this is incorrect, maybe you can straighten out the things I read. But somehow or other, the baby can now begin to react to light. It can somehow sense light versus dark. I don't understand that one, but maybe some of you can help me. By 37 to 40 weeks, the baby is now considered full term. Those last several weeks, the baby's lungs have been finalizing, getting ready to switch from breathing the amniotic fluid to breathing oxygen. So that at the moment of birth, the baby's lungs are already matured. They switch from breathing the mama's fluid. They switch to begin breathing oxygen. And by 37 to 40 weeks, the baby is ready to be born. And it's ready to enter into the new world. Now again, I read this and it makes sense to me. Somewhere up in there, and I missed it in my notes, the baby, when it's developing, it learns to hold things, to pull things, to grab things. Have you ever noticed how a newborn baby will grab onto your finger? He learned that in utero, grabbing anything. He's just trying to find his way around so that when he's born, he can grab on and hold to your finger because he's that developed. Now here's the shocker. Most states allow a baby to be killed through the first trimester. In fact, I guess almost every state allows a baby to be killed during the first trimester. Several states allow the baby to be killed right up through the second trimester, which is around 26 weeks. There are some states that when they get to 37, 38, 39 weeks, the doctor will go in, as even when the mom's already in labor, the doctor will go in and administer drugs that effectively kill the baby. So the mom then delivers a stillborn child, and it's perfectly legal in several states. I don't know about you, but I find that very repulsive. Because beginning with week one, it's already got its eye color, its hair color, its height is already set. In that first week, it already knows if it's going to be 6'6" or 5 feet or 4'8". That's already set in the first week. And yet people have no problem whatsoever at all taking that baby, which is a baby, and taking its life because the mama wanted to. Oh, it's a girl. Well, I want a boy. I'm not having a girl killed this one. We'll keep trying till we get a boy. You know, when we had children, we were so glad that we were having children. I couldn't care less if they were boy or girl. Well, I take it back. I really wanted the first one to be a boy. And we knew that the third one probably was going to be our last. I really wanted her to be a girl. And the one in the middle, I honestly had no preference. Boy, girl, didn't matter. But I knew that it was a live baby. And it was considered a live baby at birth. Back to our text. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit, the baby, depart from her, and yet no mischief, there's no damage, there's no death, there's no deformity, there's no harm done, no mischief follows, the man who caused it shall be punished according as the husbands will lay upon him, and such as the judges agree to. If the baby dies, if mischief follow, the baby dies, or the mom dies, then the judges were to execute life for life. You kill a baby, it's just as much as killing a grown man. You kill a baby, it's just as much as killing an adult person. And if you kill a baby, it's life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. This is determined by the judges, not individual vengeance, determined by the judges. That baby was born prematurely. The baby, because it was premature, its arms were not developed yet. Arm for arm, eye for eye, foot for foot. Whatever the baby was born deformed was to be taken out on the person that caused it. Why is this important? I bet most of us, I almost said all of us, but I bet most of us know somebody who got pregnant, either not married or whatever, and they considered an abortion. Maybe they're still considering an abortion. I'm only 15. If I have a baby, it's going to ruin my life. I'll just have an abortion. It's kind of like having a tonsillectomy. It's kind of like having an ingrown toenail removed. It's no big deal. You just go down, you abort the baby, you go home, everything's fine. By the way, it has been proven absolute, irrefutable. Nobody denies it except Planned Parenthood. Women who have abortions have a much stronger, have a much less opportunity to get pregnant later. And women who have had an abortion, in a majority of cases, will suffer a lifetime of depression and guilt that Planned Parenthood will not tell you about. So you probably know somebody, or you will know somebody. And I want you to be armed so that you can say, wait a minute. That's a baby, and I can prove it's a baby. It's alive. Yeah, it's your body, but you chose, in most cases, you chose to put another body inside of your body. And that body is not your body to do with as you please. That is an independent body that is within you. And you do not have the right to kill that baby. Period. But you know, as horrible as abortion is, there's something far worse than abortion. It's dying without the Lord Jesus Christ. See, an abortion, and I believe, and most of my friends do, babies go to heaven when they die. That's another theological point. But we believe babies go to heaven when they die. So if you have an abortion, that baby goes to heaven. Well, then why not abort everybody so they can go to heaven? Because God said, thou shalt not kill. That's not your prerogative. Euthanasia, that is not your prerogative. You don't get to choose who lives and who dies, except in the cases, capital punishment, things like that. So, well, they're too old. You know, you're too old. We're not going to pay for your surgery. We're not going to pay for your antibiotics. We're not going to pay for your stomach medicine. We're not going to pay for your heart medicine. We're just going to let you die because you're too old and you're not worth the money. I'm picking on you, but I don't really mean that. Then they are taking the place of God. And no man can give life, and no man can take life, except under the instances that the Bible gives. And abortion is the taking of life. Father, we come. When the government ruled that abortion was legal, sadly, many churches threw up their hands and said, well, The Supreme Court is ruled. There's nothing we can do about it. When they began killing older people, we threw up our hands and said, there's nothing we can do about it. Father, open our eyes and show us that not only can we do something, but we must do something to protect the lives of our innocent senior citizens, to protect the lives of the unborn that are just as much human in your sight as anyone here today. But Father, in spite of all of this, we pray for those that are lost. Lord, they're going to a place of hell where they'll burn forever and ever. And there will be no relief whatsoever at all. You've made salvation so simple that by repenting of their sins and trusting you, they can be saved and spared an eternity in hell. Father, may you open their hearts. May you grant them repentance and faith. And may we rejoice even today in the salvation of those that are lost, in the adding to your church those that are saved, and in causing every one of us to dedicate our lives to your service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.